I have not been down in. We've traveled through Mississippi before on like the way to Tucson to the Road School Rally last year, and I've made my way across the top of Mississippi, you know, before. But I have never been down this way, and it's beautiful down here on the river. My girls have already gotten out their sketch pads and sketched out the bridge that connects Louisiana with Mississippi that goes across the river, and I'm excited to be down here.
That's wonderful. Well, good for you, and good for you driving. That's wonderful news.
Yeah, you know, the more I drive it, the more I just want to keep driving, so I'm not sure what's going to happen next for the road trip teacher, let me tell you.
Well, you are such an inspiration for all those mamas, myself included, who need to be able to drive, because as we both know, it's so important to be able to drive your home if this is the lifestyle that you choose. And it's really important that you know every aspect of it in the unlikely event that something happens to your driver. Then it's really important to know what it is you're doing and be able to pick up where your driver leaves off. So good job, Mary Beth. Proud of you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
So tell me what your road school week looked like.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll have to say we were crying in our coup late a little bit for that day or so after everybody pulled out because we stayed behind. But then we decided that there was still so much to see there in Branson that we done some nature things. That's basically what we done. We done a couple more little mini field trips, but we kind of hung out at Tanicomo Lake. We went to Table Rock Park, and I don't know, my kiddos got the art bug somewhere along the line after you guys left. And so we went and I can't even think about it. We inventoried our art supplies, realized we needed a few more. The local Walmart there still had their clearance section for school supplies, so we bought some things for our art supply, and away we went. We went out there, and they sketched some things and used their nature journal, and we got our spotter's cards out from the from Usborne Books that we have, and identified some butterflies and some other things that we had, and we just kind of spent the week kind of just nature loving, and we're just excited now that we're in Mississippi to do some more historical type things. That's how we wound up our week.
Awesome. That sounds like lots of fun. Well, as you know, we came up here after we pulled out on, oh my gosh, Thursday. We came up here and we've just been really enjoying this time with the Lundys. It was, they have a couple chickens and some bunnies and a beautiful piece of property overlooking this beautiful vista. It's so lovely to wake up to in the morning. My number one son, Dominic, has been feeding their animals along with their son, Matt. And he's just been religious about it, making sure he gets up at 7 a.m. sharp, pops himself out of bed so he can go feed the animals. He just loves it. And there's really a lot to be said for this really nice pace, slow pace of life. Yesterday, we took our trucks and we headed across the Bull Shoal River, lake. Back to Missouri to have some pizza. Is it lake?
Ooh, fun.
You know it?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. I mean, there's a Bull Shoals Lake down there. I'm assuming that's what it is. Maybe there is a river that goes into the lake,
yeah.
But could be.
It's probably a lake. You're probably right.
We should find that out.
I only did it yesterday, and I still don't know. And had some pizza across the lake, and then put our trucks back on the ferry and came back across, and it was a great big outing. I have some pictures of that on what my road school week looked like over there at the Road School Moms Facebook page that you can check out. And it's been lovely. I'm looking forward to going to the East Coast. We haven't been on the East Coast in years, so that's going to be really exciting too. And do you know tonight is a whole bunch of crazy names for the moon? Are you aware of what's going on outside tonight, Mary Beth?
I am. We're excited to be where we are because it's a pretty clear night. I think we're going to get a good shot of the blood moon. I know that's one thing that people are calling it. And we've read up on it a little bit. I'll be honest, we've been so crazy busy, and we've traveled most of the day today. As a matter of fact, we pretty much just skated in here just a short while ago. But I know that there's a lot to be said about what's happening with this moon tonight. It's like the fourth in a series of this type of an eclipse, and there's not another one, I think, for a couple of years. That's kind of a crazy set of circumstances, it sounds like.
Absolutely. So it's a blood moon. It's a super moon, which I just found out means that the moon is the closest it's going to ever be to Earth and be a full moon. It's a lunar eclipse, and it's a harvest moon, which I also found out from the Lundys that that means that it's the first autumnal full moon. So it's a super big deal tonight, and all my family is outside having a fire right now and watching it rise. So wherever in the world you are, I hope you get a chance to check out the moon tonight.
Really, we should all, everybody should post their view of the moon. That'd be kind of cool to see where you're at if you're listening tonight or you're in our group. Post a picture of the moon and tell us where you're coming to us from.
Oh, I'd love that. In fact, what I'll do is if people post pictures of their moon tonight, I will send them a free copy of my brand new book, The Journey Journal. So go ahead to Road School Moms Facebook group and post a picture of your moon, and I will randomly pick from the pictures someone to win the Journey Journal, a digital copy of the Journey Journal. How
fun. That was very generous of you. I love your Journey Journal. It's so much fun. I wish I would have had one. I keep thinking I'm just going to go back and start all over and pretend that I'm just now leaving.
You know, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm retroactively recording the things that I know, because when we launched 5 years ago, it was very vivid in my mind what my hopes and fears were, and so that's still very much in my mind. So I've retroactively gone in and filled out the book as if we are just getting ready to launch. And the reason why I'm doing this is because it's so important to me to have this record for my children and their children to reflect to. You know, this what we've done, taking them on this journey, is a life-changing event for not just me and Chris, but for all of us. And they were really young when we started, and now that our youngest is 5, they're coming into, you know, what life is like on the road. They really don't remember what life was like in the house. And I know they're going to have questions about why it is we did what we did. And that's exactly what the Journey Journal is for. It's to record that critical time in your life where you took the largest leap of faith. And for many people, going on the road will be the largest leap of faith they ever take in their lives. So it's really important to record that for your kids' sake.
I do. And I think I love it that even though you didn't have it when you started out, you've got 5 years behind you. So you kind of know what's important, the things like you talked about that were your hopes and fears. And so I'm kind of glad that you waited now to put it together, because I feel like it is very complete and it'll cover everything that you want to remember.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, that's a really good point. You know, now, oh, I see Clementine has already posted on Road School Moms. She's at Lake Heyburn State Park, and she posted a beautiful picture of the moon. Wow, that is spectacular, Clementine. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for your moon picture. That's awesome. I love that. I can't wait to see other moon pictures come in. Tonight on the show, we are joined by Paul and Becky Courtman of Nomad Together, and I am going to be conducting an interview with them, and Mary Beth is going to join us at the end of the broadcast. So, Mary Beth, we'll talk to you later.
All righty. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks. Paul and Becky Courtman of Nomad Together, welcome to Road School Moms. Thanks so much for coming.
Thanks. Glad to be here. Can you hear me?
Where in the world are you tonight? Yes, I can. I hear you great, Paul. You sound wonderful. Where in the world are you tonight?
We're in Atlanta, just outside of Atlanta in Georgia.
Beautiful. Do you have a good view of the moon?
You know, I just saw that tonight on Facebook, and I am stepping outside to see if we do, but we're kind of in the city, so probably not.
Yeah, those city lights do a number of draining the light out of the moon, but it's pretty amazing. My family's outside having their fire right now and watching it rise over the Ozarks, and that's where we're coming to you from, the Ozarks. So thanks so much. We've talked about your podcast all week long. Why don't you give us a little background about how you and Becky came to create Nomad Together?
Well, before I jump into that, I just want to do a little mic check. Becky, can you hear us?
Yep, I'm here.
Great.
Hey, Becky.
All right, so.
Hi there.
So the background on Nomad Together and the podcast and all that, we traveled around the world by airplane in, 2014, so last year, and just had a blast. But we felt very alone because anytime we would post on Facebook a complaint about our lifestyle or about the situation that we were in, people would just jump on us and be like, oh, whatever, you're in the tropics, suck it up, you can't complain. And it's like, I'd give, you know, a body part to live your life. And we just kind of realized, you know what, we don't need to talk to you people about this. So we ended up creating a community and all that just for families who are doing location independent international traveling, just to help them realize that they're not alone, that there are hundreds of thousands of people doing this, but we're all staying really quiet because we can't talk to our friends back home about it because they get upset at us because we have such the coolest lifestyle.
That was part of it. And the other part was when we were preparing to do this, every question we had, we were scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and find information. And there wasn't anybody out there to ask, no matter where we looked. And so we really just had to figure it out on our own. And we said, this shouldn't be this hard. We've got to make this easier for other people who want to do this lifestyle. And so that was our other reason for wanting to create a community where people could come and ask questions and get answers from people who are actually doing it.
Absolutely. Well, that's great, and you have a great resource there. Do you find that your previous traditional friends, do you have a hard time relating to what's going on in their life as they have a hard time relating to what's going on in your life? Is that a real thing?
That's a tough one. Becky, do you have any ideas?
I don't think that we have a hard time relating to our friends because we know their lifestyle. We've been there. We know what it's like, and so we understand their struggles and their problems. I think it's just that they haven't been in our spot, so they don't understand the struggles and problems that we have. And because we travel all the time, and in the American culture, travel is seen as an extravagance and a luxury, and so it seems as though we're living the extravagant lifestyle, when in fact it's not necessarily true. We feel it's a blessing, but it's not that we're living a luxurious lifestyle like a lot of people think.
Right. So what are the hardships of travel that you were not able to share before establishing this community?
Well, one of the major things that sticks out and was that when we were in the tropics, we didn't realize that of our six crew members, so four kids and Becky and I, that two of us suffered from pretty severe heat exhaustion. Our five-year-old would be walking down the street, and within 5 minutes of just going out for a walk around the neighborhood, he would be passing out, and I'd have to carry him home. And so that's one of those things of where we feel justified in complaining about the heat and humidity because we chose the location we were at based on financials and connections, and we knew it would be hot. We just didn't realize it would be that hot, and there was no support. I would say another one that goes along with that is it can get lonely on the road. Mm-hmm. And even now we're living in a motorhome and doing the RV thing, but even though we're hanging out with friends, we're visiting people, it's still the same conversations over and over again. And there's not a whole lot of continuity and somebody who's there with you all the time who you can go and say something. And they're like, I totally know what you mean. I know because I've been with you for the last year and have seen the ups and downs of your journey. And they can speak right into that.
Absolutely. You know, that that is one common misnomer that you and I share, is that you can't be nomadic and still have community. And that's really farthest from the truth. In fact, I have found that the community out here is actually much more welcoming, much more generous, and much more free with their time and gifts and talents than in the traditional world where everyone is, you know, really busy. how do you continue to maintain community while you're moving so much?
A lot of it for us, you know, we're still starting out, and our community is a little bit different. That we, you know, a lot, we're in 30 different countries just with the folks in our community so far. So it's not like we can get together and do rallies or anything like that. It's a very rare thing that we'll connect up in person. But as we grow and as things continue to expand, there are meetups around the world that some of us will be able to connect with. But, you know, outside of that, it's a lot of, I would say, well, there's two ways to answer that. One is for the actual community and one is for our family. For the actual community, we do a lot of online events and connecting up that way, as well as it's just sharing things that are frustrating or that are working well. We had a U.S. tax accountant jump in and say, hey, I specialize in foreigners and their tax. So if you are a U.S. citizen and you're trying to figure out your tax situation and you don't live in the U.S. or you're traveling often, let me know, ask me any questions and I can help. And so it's a lot of that community building of just sharing expertise and working together to make life better for each one of us. I would say for our family, we're a bit different. I mean, I was writing a blog post today and I refer to ourselves as slightly crazy. And in the sense that we're really a tight-knit family. It's the six of us, and it's not like we see ourselves as the six of us against the world, but we're pretty tight together, and we love each other dearly. And for some reason, our kids, their oldest is 9, but they really long to be with us. So we've been able to keep community right within our nuclear family. And I'll lean on Becky for anything else I missed there.
I think that as we've just started out, I mean, we've only been on the road now for almost 2 months. We've been living in the RV for longer than that, but actually traveling. And so I think we're kind of still finding our groove with what's going to work for us and our community as a family. We're Christians, so we make a point of whatever church we happen to be closest to, or if we're staying with friends on a given Sunday, that we make sure that we are with a worshiping body. And that helps us with just being around people who are like-minded with us. We also take every opportunity we have to hang out with people who we meet, who either are, we've read your blog and we want to meet you, or, hey, we're also doing the same thing, let's get together. We jump on that right away. Our kids have learned how to make friends at the drop of a hat, and so a few minutes in, they are full on with best buddies, and that's just kind of something that we are learning as we go. So I don't feel like that we as a family have figured out the how we do community exactly yet. We're just sort of getting our feet wet.
I see. Well, that's really interesting. You mentioned your kids, so everyone's going to wonder. This is Road School Mom. So tell us a little bit about how you handle and tackle education.
Excellent. Well, we have a 9-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old, and a 3-year-old. So little guy, Xander, he just sort of does his own thing all day long. And we pop little bits of unschooling in with him whenever we have the opportunity. Our 5-year-old, he does a little bit of workbooks kind of stuff for kindergarten. He's loving some parts of it and not other parts of it, so I'm not leaning on him very hard with any of that yet. If he's loving it, we work on it. If he's not, we don't. And then the other two, we do typical homeschool with a curriculum that I've chosen, and we typically do that in the mornings while Paul is doing his morning business calls. It usually takes us about an hour and a half to 2 hours in the morning, and we're sort of finished with school for the day. And we've decided to do homeschooling and do unschooling when it sort of works for us. We sort of have adopted a use both. That's kind of our style, and we're doing school year-round and then just allowing ourselves to take days off from school whenever need be. Our host, where we're parked right now, has asked us to come tomorrow morning and go fishing with her grandkids. So we're going to go do that, and we take the day off school and don't even worry about it and jump back in the next day, and we just continue on with school year-round and pick up the next grade as the next grade goes on. So,
what do you wish you knew before you headed out on extended family travel? What's the one thing you wish you knew ahead of time? Oh, I don't know what we wish we do.
I wish I knew how much RVs broke down. I kind of had a feeling, but we just lost our transmission and so had to bite a big bullet this past week in paying for that. So, yeah, I wish I knew that.
But even that, even before you were in the RV, when you headed out for your trip around the world on planes, is there any information that you would want to share with people who are thinking about doing this that you didn't have, that you had to learn the hard way?
I think what sticks out in my head right now is I wish I knew that I could relax some. I think going into it the first time, I felt like things needed to be really structured to make them happen. I needed to have a schedule for school. I needed to make sure that we did X, Y, and Z things and, you know, plan this and plan that. And I think I learned to let it go and be a little more flexible. And the more flexible we are, the better things seem to work. And so I think I wish I knew that before we set off, was to sort of take a step back and chill out a little bit more.
And I would say one of the things that came to me now is on the business side, I wish I knew how much my in-person networking helped the business and how that would completely dry up the moment we left. So my referral network just tanked. Within a week of us leaving initially, it was just didn't exist. And so we wrote it out. But as we lost clients at normal churn, we couldn't recuperate and bring on new ones fast enough.
That's really good information to consider, because a lot of people have that income piece nailed down in their minds, and some people don't at all, which will lead into my next question. But in your case, it sounds like you thought you had a plan, and then you had to come up with a new plan. What do you say to people who say, "Gosh, I want to do this so bad"? How do you make money? How do you make money on the road? not asking you personally how you make money, but I'm asking you how you answer that question for other people.
There's a million ways to make money on the road. Every day I'm presented with a new way that people are making money while traveling. Any position, any career, I'll go on record saying any expertise, anything that you do, it can be done remotely and it can be done on the road. So, for example, a friend of ours is a dentist, and in a dental practice, you can kind of go, yeah, that can't be location independent. That can't be done on the road. It's not like you can just set up a clean shop in the campground and start cleaning people's teeth. Instead, she teaches dentists who are trying to pass a certain certification in the U.S., but they're foreigners. She runs a course that teaches them how to do that. And is hugely successful at doing that. So I just encourage people to really think outside the box and to give me whatever, you know, to challenge me. Like, hey, give me a practice, give me a career or an expertise or something, and I can explain to you how you can turn that into either a teaching position where you're creating a course and teaching others how to do it, or where you can write about it and get paid to write books, or there's hundreds of other opportunities. And even what I've found the most beneficial for people is to say, that may be your career, but what are something that you could do that someone would pay you for that you don't have to physically be there? So, for example, you know, the marketplace of Etsy or eBay or whatever, like if you're just a great antique shopper, you can be on the road and still run an eBay business, and even then, that might give you the availability to find some really cool finds and be able to sell them via eBay. So there's the options are
there's
endless.
Both. Think about your career and how you might think outside the box with your career, but also just think about your passions. What is it that you love to do, and how you can turn that into a money maker?
Well, those are really good things to think about. You brought with you some gifts tonight. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So we wrote a guidebook for families who are considering location independence, and specifically with the international piece in there of, like, how in the world do I do this? And what we did is we addressed the five main objections. So it's the five main hurdles that people have to overcome, but it's also what people say, well, I can't have that life because. Yeah, well, it really falls into seven, but we talk about five, and then we added in two bonus sections of where we just address each one of those seven issues that come up, like finances, work, money, et cetera, education for the kids, and various other ones that I can't think of right off the top of my head. But so we wrote a guidebook called the Family Freedom Guidebook, and we sell it for $27. It sells really well, and we'd be happy to give three copies of those away to anybody who signs up, within the next two or three days. Simply go to nomadtogether.com, scroll to the bottom, and it has a orange box where you can fill out your name and email address, and you'll be entered into the drawing to win one of those copies.
Thanks so much. I'm putting that information on our chat, and I'm going to go put it on our Facebook group in a minute. Go ahead and tell us how our listeners can further connect with you, Paul and Becky.
So we really have two places. If you're interested in our personal journey, where we're going, what we're doing as a family, that's homealongtheway.com, where we blog about just life on the road and life with four kids and life. But then if you want to check out more about the international aspect of location independence as a family, nomadtogether.com. And from there, you can choose either you're already location independent or you want to become location independent. And we have different resources available for you there. Personally, I'm Namtrok on Twitter. That's Namtrok. And you can reach out to either one of us on Facebook, Paul Kortman or Rebecca Kortman. Actually, I think you're Becky Kortman on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And our last name is Kortman.
Awesome. And you guys also have a podcast, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I just totally forgot that. But, yeah, we have one of those things, too. To see that, there's too many things. I mean, we got this, we got that. And then there's the business. If you're interested in marketing. No, okay. Nomadtogether.com/podcast. And that will take you to our podcast where we've got there's really good interviews. The next one coming up is an Australian who grew up in a location-independent situation where she was flying all around the world and living elsewhere, and now she's 40-something, and she talks through how she feels she has benefited from travel as a child. So really good stuff coming at you.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. That's one of the biggest questions I have in my mind is how this journey is affecting our children and what they'll have to say when they grow up about it. And, since there's not a lot of families that blaze this trail before us who are, available to talk to, those families aren't on Facebook or whatever, I'll definitely be tuned in for that one. I really want to hear what she's got to say about that.
Awesome.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And, again, I want to tell our listeners to go to Nomad Together and go ahead and register for your chance to win a copy of the Family Freedom Guide. It's a $27 value, and Paul and Becky are going to randomly pick from the people who register at that site to win. So thank you so much. And, again, tune into their podcast at nomadtogether.com/podcast. Available on iTunes, right?
Yes, it's on iTunes and Stitcher as well.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Becky and Paul, and we hope to see you down the road.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Well, that was a really interesting interview, and I hope that if you're inspired to take on international travel as part of your journey, that you'll go to nomadtogether.com and look at the resources they have amassed for you there, because it's a great site. And I was privileged to be on one of their podcasts a couple weeks ago, and Paula and I got to talk about all things RV, which, is, as you know, as a Road School Mom listener, is one of my favorite things to talk about. So a big shout-out to them for hosting me, and thank you very much. I want to talk about what's happening next week and the following weeks on Road School Moms. It's a very busy season for us. We're back after our mini-season this summer, and we're back into full swing. On the 4th of October, we're going to have Christine Pickenen from Big Crazy Family Adventure. That's a TLC show that aired about a family traveling the world, very much like the Courtmans, living a nomadic lifestyle. And there's lots of TV shows coming out about nomadic families, whether they be RV families or world travelers, world schoolers, what have you. And TLC aired this Big Crazy Family Adventure show, and I'm really excited to talk to Christine about what her journey was like, and specifically what her journey was like while she was being filmed with a film crew. Then on the 18th of October, we have Heather Creekmore from Compared to Who. She wrote an amazing article about homeschool moms, and I'm so excited to bring her on to Road School Moms in the middle of October to talk to us about what homeschool moms are and what they aren't, and how we can all embrace one another's differences and celebrate one another and really champion one another because homeschooling is hard. It's not easy, and we should be out here helping each other as much as possible. So that's coming up on the 18th. Then we're also getting ready for our – this is the best show we ever did last year. It was so much fun – our Road School Moms Favorite Things. And if you want to be involved in that show, then I invite you to contact me, Kimberly, at fulltimefamilies.com, and let me know what gift you can give. Last year, we showcased a whole bunch of businesses that other Road School Moms owned, whether it be an Etsy store or like 31 Gifts or Origami Owl, whole bunch of gifts from Road School Moms that own their own business. But this year we're opening it up to everyone. And what it is a giant online gift exchange. So you come with your gift and we put it in the hat and we pick a name and that's who you send your gift to. It's a great fun. And we will also get in touch with our local sponsors. Last year we gave away an Instant Pot and a whole bunch of other stuff. You can tune into that show in our archives. But it's a great show. It's a lot of fun. It's obviously live like all our other shows, and we get to pick names out of the hat and see who goes home with what. And it's a way to celebrate Road School Moms right before the craziness of the holiday season starts. Immediately following Road School Mom's Favorite Things show, we're going into our next mini season for the holidays. We know you're busy, and Lord knows Mary Beth and I are busy too. So we'll be doing 15-minute shows through the holiday season and just getting you up to par with all the information you need to know to celebrate a wonderful holiday season. And some of those shows will include great gifts for road schoolers and their families. That might be a show that you would want to send your relatives to listen into. How to have Thanksgiving in your RV. That's going to be right before Thanksgiving. Let me see what else we got. Best winter RV destinations, because some people are not going to Florida this year. Oddly enough, they go elsewhere in their RV. And so we're going to be sharing with you our top winter destinations to RV. And if you are going to look into RV in cold weather, you're going to want to tune in because we're also going to share winterizing tips on that show. Decorating for the holidays in your RV is always a very popular show because people aren't sure what they can and can't do. So we'll be sharing with you our best tips for making your RV the most festive RV in the park. And then also holiday curriculum ideas, how to blend the holidays into your road school curriculum. So lots of great things coming up. I'm really excited to have you join us, and I'm looking forward to a great 2016. If you have not listened before, then you're going to want to make plans, because in 2016 winter, we're going to be hosting not one, but two rallies across the country. One in Tampa will be held, the Sweetheart Soiree will be held over Valentine's Day weekend in Tampa at Lazy Days, one of our favorite RV parks in Central Florida. And then Lauren Wolf is going to be heading up in a West Coast version of the rally, and she is, I know, working furiously on finding dates and locations that will work on the West Coast. So as soon as we have that information, we'll be putting it all up and have registrations up so that you can get in on one of those events, depending on what side of the country you are this winter. I think that's all I've got. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always reach me, again, at Kimberly@fulltimefamilies.com, and you can reach Mary Beth at info@theroadtripteacher.com. We're always available to you and love to be in touch. Remember to keep those pictures coming of what your moon looks like tonight for your chance to win a digital copy of The Journey Journal, my newest book. And until then, we will see you next week. Take care.
This is Kimberly.
And this is Mary Beth, your Road School Moms, on the road where education meets adventure. Until next time, we wish you safe travels and leave you with our traveler's prayer. Lord, be our guide and protector. Let those I encounter be blessed by my words. Let my hands be filled with your work, and may I be filled with your grace and kind words for others. May I be a light unto those around me on the journey ahead. Amen.
Amen. This has been a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. If you'd like more information, go to roadschoolmoms.com.
The moderator has left the conference.